Live from the Small Business Authority Studios, this is the John Batchelor Show.
This is the John Batchelor Show. I am Paul Vigna, joined by Gordon Chang this evening. Asia, we're going to Asia now because the continent, the broad Asian population is almost half of the world's population. However, some nations in Asia are growing rapidly. Some are actually seeing their birth rates drop precipitously. These trends over the next 20, 30 years are going to have a major, major impact on what happens in Asia. We're joined this evening by Mark Clifford, who is the author of the book, Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs. Mark, thanks for coming on tonight.
Delighted to talk to you, Paul.
So let's talk about demographics in Asia. It's funny because, you know, we talk about economics, politics, finance, all these things. The demographic changes in Asia actually could have a bigger impact than any of those, right?
Well, I think they'll feed into the politics and the economics.
Right.
A lot of the economic growth in Asia in the last half century has been driven by larger and better educated workers, working age populations. That's all turning, especially in East Asia. Just to take one number, China's working age population is going to drop by about 100 million people in the next two decades. Think of that. It's about a third of the population of the U.S., and that's just the workers. And China, as you know, has been fueled by tens, hundreds of millions of cheap, low-cost workers, and that's ending.
Yeah, Mark, actually, one of the principal reasons for China's spectacular rise over the last 35 years was because of the demographic dividend, this extraordinary bulge in the workforce. But as you point out, you know, starting from either next year to 2016, probably the front end of that range, China's workforce will level off and then start to drop. And this is going to have enormous impacts on the Chinese economy, right?
Well, that's right. Just in the last decade, Gordon, the monthly wages that workers, I'm in Hong Kong, and just across the border is Shenzhen, Guangdong, the factory of the world. Workers used to get about $100 a month there, and now they're getting about $100 a week. But even so, its wages have effectively quadrupled, setting aside inflation. Despite that, factory owners and governments are complaining about a shortage of workers. In yesterday's South China Morning Post here in Hong Kong, there was a complaint from the Guangdong government, that's the province, that the province needs a million more factory workers. And that's just one province in China. So this is turning very, very quickly. And, Paul, you mentioned politics and economics. Obviously, the demography feeds into it. Workers get paid more. They have different expectations.
Right.
So I think we're going to see some very dramatic changes throughout Asia driven by these huge population shifts.
Now, I know in China, right, they have the one-child policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's only in China. What about in the rest of Asia? What's driving the change in the rest of Asia?
Well, I think what's driving it is a different standard of living, different expectations, women who don't want to have six kids and who know that, thanks to huge advances in health, that their children are going to live. But I think in some senses, in some places, it's driven by a sense that, you know, you have small apartments, difficult, you know, not the highest standard of living or quality of life. So in Japan, we're likely to see the population over the course of this century fall by half. I mean, Gordon was talking about the increase in workers fueling economic growth. What does that mean if you're a retailer or you're selling cars or you're just trying to staff your office if the number of people in your country is falling by half?
Yeah, Japan is absolutely staggering what's going to happen. I mean, you have whole villages in the countryside are just disappearing because there's nobody there who wants to live there. You've got everyone dying off. And so essentially what you have in Japan is people moving to the big population centers like Kyoto and Osaka and Tokyo, and the rest of the country is being depopulated. This is unprecedented in our lifetimes. You know, we'd have to go back probably to the Black Death in Europe to see such a major change in population distribution and in numbers.
That's staggering.
You're absolutely right, Gordon. I can't think, and I've looked at this a lot, I can't think of anything absent a war or a famine or pestilence where you see a population dramatically decline like this. Think of this. If somebody's born in Japan today, there are 125, 126 million other Japanese. Average life expectancy is getting up towards 90 years. So let's say at the end of her natural lifespan, she looks around, she's going to see about half as many Japanese. I mean, how do you, you know, we have no model for this. Talk about post-industrial. This is post-postmodern, I think. And all of the economic growth, particularly in East Asia, has been built on more and better educated workers. And it's not just Japan. It's not just China. It's South Korea. It's Hong Kong, it's Taiwan, it's Singapore, it's even places like Thailand. And even in fast-growing countries like Bangladesh, the fertility rate is dropping very quickly. So, you know, this is 50 years ago, we were so concerned about overpopulation in Asia. Look, it's an issue. There are a lot of people, and there are more people than there were 50 years ago. But I guess what we're discussing tonight is how dramatically the trend is shifting and, you know, what that's going to mean for society, politics, and above all, the global economy.
Right. This is the John Batchelor Show. We're talking with Mark Clifford, author of the book Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs. Let's talk about health care for a second, because you're talking about some of these rapidly aging populations, fewer workers coming in to support them. What is the situation with health care going to be in a place, a country like China, for say?
Well, it's a very mixed picture, but you mentioned the book Through the Eyes of Tiger Cubs. We asked young Asians to tell us what the biggest challenge was facing Asia over the next 10 years, and healthcare was one of the big issues coupled with the demographic change. And even in the wealthiest countries, they're going to struggle with these aging populations. So take a country like Singapore, small population, 5 million people, very high per capita income. And yet people are worried that getting their parents into a nursing home is going to be like getting into an Ivy League school. And that's in Singapore. I mean, you're going to have that kind of pressure. In China, it's hard to say. There were very rapid advances in healthcare and very, very basic healthcare in the first decades after the communists took over in 1949. As they move towards more of a market economy, people at the top are doing very well. The rural population and the poor people are really being left behind. So, again, it's going to be a big challenge for the country.
Mark, do you see these population trends reversing? I mean, in other words, instead of countries with lower and lower total fertility rates, that eventually there'll be, you know, an increase in TFRs? Or is this sort of irreversible, at least during our lifetimes?
Well, there don't seem to be any signs that it's being reversed. At best, it's being stabilized. But you need very pronatal policies, and some of the Scandinavian countries managed to turn things around through, you know, it takes time. There doesn't seem to be any sign that that's happening in Asia. At best, a stabilization. But again, a stabilization at very low rates. Hong Kong, the fertility rate per woman is less than one. You need about 2.1 to stabilize the population. And, it, you know, as I don't see any sign that it's reversing. All the trends look like it's accelerating, particularly in the high-growth countries.
Does China end the one-child policy?
No, and the reason I think is...
Very interesting question. There is talk about that, but once government policies like this are set in place, they're very hard to reverse. They're allowing a few more exceptions, but quite frankly, my gut feeling is that by the time they change it, Chinese are going to be rich enough and have high enough expectations. They're not going to want to have three kids anymore, or maybe not even two. It's expensive to live in China. It's very expensive to raise children. It's hard to get your kids into a good school. And we've seen in Hong Kong, very few people have more than one child. And I think that's the direction China is heading, one-child policy or no.
And you know, the Communist Party does not going to give up this method of mechanism of control over people. So it's very political. You know, it may make no sense to have this policy, but the Communist Party, to stay in control, is going to keep it.
Wow.
Well, and also, I think you're right, Gordon, but it's also just the Communist Party doesn't like to admit that it was wrong or admit that it needs to change a fundamental policy like this. And it's just interesting, the kids who've grown up in this contest that we ran asking young Asians to talk about the biggest challenge facing the region was coincidentally open to people born after 1978. We took, when I say we, it's the Asia Business Council with Time Magazine and the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy down in Singapore. We took the World Bank's definition of young professionals, which is under the age of 32. So coincidentally, the oldest people who would have been eligible for this essay contest were born just as the one-child policy was starting. Their expectations, and not just China, all over Asia, are so high. Think of it. They've grown grown up as pampered one or two child families, kids in one or two child families. They're not, you know, eight kids fighting for a scrap of rice. And their expectations, their parents' expectations, are very, very high. And I think that's going to cause some very dramatic changes throughout Asia's politics and society as it plays out over the next couple of decades.
Right. All right. Demographics in Asia, it's going to be a big issue, maybe bigger than politics, economics, finance, all those things put together. Mark Clifford, thank you very much.
Thank you guys both. It's been a pleasure.
This is the John Batchelor Show.